Now, according to Treasury's economic scenarios, unemployment in New Zealand could be kept close to 10%, or it could rise as high as 26% in the worst case scenario. Jackie Maguire is a registered clinical psychologist who's been thinking about how to support people who are dealing with unemployment. She's written an article on the Spinoff website, which you can read at your leisure. And she joins us now. Hi there, Jackie.
Hi, Jesse.
Do you feel there's a bit of a need out there for this sort of advice at the moment?
Well, I think when you look at the research which has been collected in prior recessions, but both the GFC and the Great Depression, there are very clear links between unemployment or unexpected unemployment and mental health. So I think as we look at that 10 to 26 range, it's important that we kind of get armed as a country with really good knowledge and strategies about how we support people so we don't see increases in things like depression or suicide.
What sorts of emotions do you go through when you find out that you no longer have a job?
Well, I think there is a range. And also, I think it depends on what kind of role your job plays in your life. So, you know, there's a really interesting kind of scale that's used in positive psychology, which says people can go to work for a job, which is really to collect their coin to help, you know, do the things they want to in life. There's people that have a career, and there's those that have a calling. And it's kind of interesting for people to place themselves on that scale and go, where does my work fit for me? And, you know, a common emotion that people have is grief. And we know that if you're higher up that scale, for example, if you feel like you have a calling in your work and it's central to your life and your worthiness and your self-identity, then that grief potentially will be quite a lot higher than someone that perhaps has a job to just collect the pennies at the end of the day. So there's the grief component of that. But within grief, there is sadness, there is anger, there is bargaining, there might be anxiety for people where that loss of work has got significant financial strain for them and their families. There are a number of emotions that people may be feeling.
What should you do first when you get the news?
I think everyone needs to take a moment to process, and there will be many moments over the coming weeks. Again, the impact of job loss will depend on a number of factors. For example, what financial strain you're under, the reliance on your family for that income, whether you perceive that you will be able to easily regain work in the future or not. So I suppose it's what I'm trying to paint the picture of. It's complex. It's not black and white. Mm. But the research has shown a number of things that are useful for people in terms of mental health protection from an individual basis. And then there are some things the government can do. So from that personal perspective, it's really important, if you can, to hold the mindset of losing my role in this time does not directly contribute to my personal worthiness. So can you hold that mindset of, actually, it's not about me that I'm in this position. There are many people in this position because of the recession. And that can be quite hard when your job has been important to you and you're in that initial state of loss or shock. Establishing structure and routine in your life is also really important, because that's something else going to work provides. And structure and routine and getting up and getting outside, all of those things are linked to well-being. So, you know, the basics are get up at a certain time, go and have a shower and put some normal clothes on. You know, that's a really good start in basic words. It's also one of the main things in the research is around who you surround yourself with after unexpected job loss, and we really can't control that at the moment in bubble land that we're living in. But the hope is that your family is supportive of you, because there are links with supportive families to better outcomes for well-being. And if you've got a family that is blaming or inducing shame, etc., the outcomes are worse in terms of mental health. So, you know, hopefully families are supportive. And if unfortunately they're not, I would then be choosing about who I spend my time talking to on FaceTime or Zoom or connecting with outside of my bubble, because having that support system is really important.
What are some supportive things to do or say?
If you are the supporter,
yeah,
I think always in that first instance, it's about validating people's emotions. We know from an emotion regulation perspective that when you can label what's going on for someone and really just sit and listen and hold that person's emotions, it helps them regulate. Because sometimes when people are in great distress, their frontal lobes aren't working. They're operating from a kind of evolutionary emotion center. So really the best thing you can do is validate, I'm really sorry to hear that. That must be really shitty. You know, what do you need? That kind of open-ended, full support for someone is far more helpful than you coming in and trying to problem solve with them when their cognitive prefrontal cortex isn't quite operating in that time. You need the validation well before somebody can plan what they're doing next.
Anyone we should be particularly sort of cognizant of when unemployment hits, anyone who's particularly vulnerable to poor mental health?
Yes, there are. So if you're a family with higher financial debt, that is a vulnerable group. Those with pre-existing mental illness is a vulnerable group. If you're a family with children, that in itself increases your vulnerability because I suppose the responsibility around where your pay goes. But also those with lower education levels and women. So there is a gender split where women have higher mental health outcomes in terms of risk to mental health, but men have higher suicide rates through unemployment, and that's often linked to higher drinking because higher alcohol consumption is a significant symptom or outcome associated with job loss in the research. So, you know, women might have more levels of depression or anxiety, but men tend to go through and have higher suicidal behaviour.
Any difference, by the way, between the way mental health is affected when you lose your job in a situation like this, COVID-19 induced recession is, I guess, what we're talking about here, and in some other way, does the way in which you become unemployed impact your mental health?
Yes, well, the way in which you're let go does, absolutely. So that's one of the factors that contributes to the outcome. And I think this could go either way, do you see? So if people are able to hold that worthiness of themselves, this is not me, this is just a pandemic and a global recession, I think that's helpful. But on the other hand, we don't really know what's going to happen. We are in a, you know, we're in an unknown territory here without a blueprint. So say you lose your job in a regular circumstance, you might hold quite high hope that you can go and get employment again quite quickly. Here, I suppose we don't know when or how the job market is going to look in the future. So I think it could go either way, and therefore we need to be prepared to put as much wraparound support around people as possible. And there are some things that government at a policy level can be doing to help with that.
Such as?
Such as really good active labour market programs. So if we find that we've got a high unemployment rate, helping people retrain, helping people increase their CVs, for example, so giving people that really practical help. There has been some question around should you add things like resilience or mental health training into active labour, you know, programs, and really the response is no, that's always useful in another setting, but people in unemployment during recessions really just need that practical hands-on approach. Things like raising the price of alcohol has actually had a really clear link to protected wellbeing because increased substance abuse has got such a close tie to wellbeing and mental health. Things like helping the mental health sector during this time, so ensuring that our crisis teams and our secondary health services are very well bolstered through this period, and financial support for people. So, and the last one there actually being family support too. So, you know, if we know that tension in the home is increasing and that's impacting on children, how do we wrap around and support whānau? So, you know, active labour market programs, whānau support, increasing alcohol price, enhancing our and bolstering our mental health services and supporting people with debt relief programs. The World Health Organization, that's their five top key areas for how we can support from a government community level.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Jackie. Thanks so much.
Pleasure, Jesse. Have a good day.
Jackie McGuire, registered clinical psychologist with advice for people dealing with unemployment. She's written an article on the Spin-Off website if you'd like to read more.